You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Tuesday, the 9th of January, 2024. Happy New Year to everybody. We're live on YouTube, Facebook, and on Twitter. You can download us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and a load more of your normal podcast providers. If you're watching on YouTube, like and subscribe, all that sort of good stuff. Send us a review if you're listening to podcast providers, all that. We love all that sort of stuff. It all also helps us in what we're doing. On this week's show, there's a lot to discuss. Results, news, arrivals, departures, friendship series, player of the month. We're going to get through as much as we can. And we want you to throw, if you're listening, if you're watching online, if you're watching live on YouTube, if you're watching live on Facebook, please join in the comments on the side. I think it's that side. Join the comments on the side and we'll bring you into the discussion because there's a lot to go through. We're also going to be joined by Josh Roach and the returning Will Cullen. We have an interview that Simon undertook with Doug Christensen, which is a great listen from the weekend. We may have a word or two from David Goodwin. Let's see. Few church notices. On a personal note, big thank you to David, to Simon, and to Gareth Martin for taking the reins before Christmas when I fell ill. A really enjoyable pod and a good rehearsal because I go skiing in 6 weeks, Davey. So, But top work, boys. Really, really appreciate that. And also to everybody, apologies for missing last week's show. A bit of extended Christmas and scheduling and families and all that sort of stuff. But I hope those of you saw the Twitter post give a bit of custom to one of the great podcasts around the Elite League. Thanks for coming back. Thanks for joining us. Normally, I go a certain way around when I do the introductions. Not today. Happy birthday, Sammy Kitchen. How are you doing, mate?
I'm all right, mate. Yeah, mate. Something wrong with me. Well, Jasmine made me dinner last night because she'd already had plans to go out tonight with her new work colleagues at the Jamaica Inn. So I'm just chilling home tonight and I had a podcast to do. So that's how I'm spending my birthday.
Spend your birthday with us, boys. Listen, we really appreciate it. You know, what better way to do it than to discuss the last few weeks in the Belfast Giants? Mr. McGimsey, happy new year to you.
Happy New Year, Patrick. Like anyone who lives a life like mine, a new year gives you an opportunity to recalibrate and try and hope that the next one's going to be a better one. It gives you that enthusiasm to keep going, so you never know what the new year will bring.
Absolutely, absolutely, especially when it comes to what we've got. We had a fantastic 2023 when it comes to the Belfast Giants. A grand slam year, on something, a year that we will look back on very, very fondly for the successes that it brought. And yeah, let's look ahead to hopefully better things, the way things are going for the Belfast Giants. But gentlemen, where do we start? We're going to do this a little bit differently. Obviously, normally in the podcast, what we do now is we run our way through all the individual results and we talk and we break them all down. But there's been that much sort of results, news, arrivals, departures in the last couple of weeks. What I'll do initially is I'll just take you through some of the results that have taken place in the last few weeks. We start off, of course, with that 6-5 win for the Coventry Blaze on aggregate. It was a 5-4 win in a shootout for the Coventry Blaze in the second quarter final of the Challenge Cup. The Giants, unfortunately, dropping a 4-goal lead to lose that, and Coventry progress into the next round, into the semi-finals of the Cup, and the Giants will not be able to retain that. Listen, we'll come to all of this as we go through. Giants went on to a 5-2 win over Flyers and then a 3-2 win away before on Boxing Day, travelling to Renfrew to take that 5-2 win after a quick start for the Belfast Giants, a 5-2 win against the Clan. Wasn't so good the following on Thursday night when a Cody Saul goal made a greasy 1-0 road win for the Clan. And then an interesting sort of set of results. A 3-0 win for the Belfast Giants at home before travelling to Dundee and losing 3-2 in a shootout. And then subsequently losing 4-3 at home in a shootout just the other night to the 5 Flyers. And the game on Sunday was, of course, cancelled when the Belfast Giants were unable to make the fixture due to issues at Belfast City Airport and fog and unable to travel to Cardiff. Before we come and have a bit of a chat all about this, other bits of news. Tyler Beskarwani took time out from the Giants to join Team Canada in the Spengler Cup. He actually came against the Finnish team Kalpa in a 6-3 win, but ultimately Canada fell short in the semi-finals to Pardubice. Maybe they should have played, Besko. The home team Davos won their 16th Spengler Cup, the first since 2011. With regards to players, our guest later on, Will Cullen, joined us on the 4th of January. And then today, Quinn Preston has returned on, for personal reasons, back to United States, or back to North America, sorry. And David Goodwin, former captain, is joining us back again after a bit of time in Spain. Now, that's all the bits and pieces. I think, listen, if I've missed anything, send us a comment and we'll throw some bits and pieces in. But let's start. Davey, I'll start with you. One of the real things that has happened over the last couple of weeks for the Belfast Giants is that we have gained significant leads in games and they've gone. Why?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Paddy, fell asleep in games, taking a couple of shifts off, and momentum's a terrible swing. Like, if we go right back to 20th of December, maybe that second leg of the Challenge Cup game, and at 4-0. And I know the writings on Twitter and even some journalists had said it was game over. And I think Simon had said something similar on the webcast as well. At 4-0, and as good a second period as I've seen in a very, very long time in terms of just completely dominated the period completely and were in total control of the game. And I know that even in Kiefer's post-match, he said about switching off for 15 minutes. I don't even think it was for as long as that. It could have been as little as 5 minutes where we switched off completely and it was bang, bang, bang. And the game was all of a sudden. I know the fourth goal was a poor call officiating the night, but you can't go back on one incident through the whole game and blame it on that. We'd taken our foot so much off the gas at that stage that it just became an uphill struggle. And then the game tipped again. And I don't know whether Simon will agree with me or not. When they scored their fourth goal, we then went to try and get her foot back on the gas, left herself a wee bit too much to do, dominated 3-on-3 overtime, and then, and as we've seen, we've had a few penalty shootouts over the last month.
You put a bit of Joy Division on that, did you?
Yeah, love will tear us apart again. It's kind of it does love tears you apart, don't it? You love this team, and unfortunately, we've gone from 4-0 up and Hank throwing the slam dunk somehow throwing it away. We went sleepy in games, Paddy, to answer your question. You asked what's happened here. And it can't be down to anything other than a bit of mindset. We we concede a goal, and then all of a sudden we concede in bunches, and you know, the players won't be happy with that. The coaching staff aren't happy with it, and you heard from the stands, the fans aren't happy with it either.
Simon, you know, like, you look at the way the Belfast Giants started the game in Renfrew against the Clan, and you know, they came out firing, they kept bang, 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 they got in that lead, and they held that lead and they went through. And then you flip that mentality to the games where we have, because like, obviously that game against the Blaze wasn't the only game in the last number of weeks that where we've went to in a lead and then struggled, you know, when they've started to come back at us. So, you know, we see that the Giants can get those leads. We still do, but it's holding on to them, which has been the problem.
You know, I was sitting thinking about this a few days ago. Over the last few years, we've found ways of winning games from losing positions.
Yes.
And of late, it's been flipped on its back, where we're found ways of losing games from winning positions. And I think it's mental. I think it's a mental problem. I mean, when you look at the 4-0 lead against Coventry, for example, Davies just touched on it. We absolutely dominated. I want to say the first 40 minutes. First 20 was a bit of a cat and mouse type of thing. We got the lead. Second period, it was probably the best period we played all season. And then we just stopped. I mean, literally, we got a couple of goals at, I think it was the start of the third period, and we just stopped moving our feet. And we talk about momentum in games and how important it is. And if you sort of get a little bit of luck going your way and puck luck and bounces, and Coventry deserved to get, you know, what they basically did in the third period, fair play to them. They deserved to go through to the next round, because you can't keep doing that. I mean, there was 4-0 lead there, the 2-0 lead against Dundee last weekend, or the weekend before, sorry. And then there was another 3-0 lead as well, which we coughed up at the weekend. Or 2-0, was it 2-0 the weekend or 3?
Three.
You know, we can't keep doing that. It's
3 against Dundee. Isn't it 3 against Dundee, 3 against Fife? You know, It's so difficult. Sorry, just remind. It's really frustrating, because you know, and you've seen the ability of this team. I know I'll just come back to this, but we've seen the ability of this team. We've seen that, you know, in the Champions Hockey League, that they were, you know, they stuck together. They were able to put fluent game together. They played 60 minutes against top level opposition. They were able to shut out. We talked about Porto Beach there in the Spengler Cup, and you know, getting to the final of the Spengler Cup. We shut them out at home. We saw this team was able to show the ability that they had. And then, yes, we had times through November. We're like, hold on a minute. Well, maybe this is just short lived. Maybe this is just short lived. They'll be fine. But to drop goals that we drop leads, significant leads like we did against Fife, Dundee, and Coventry, is a worry.
It's absolutely a worry. And Adam and the coaching staff are trying to address it. And, you know, when you're, I don't want to start blaming individuals, but when one guy switches off, you might as well be playing shorthanded. And it's the whole point of trying to, I mean, that 4-0 loss, that 4-0 lead against Coventry, losing that night was probably the lowest that I felt as it worked since working for the Giants in the last 2.5 seasons. And it hurts. I'm not a player. I do my best off the ice for the organization, and it's hurting me. And sometimes when you don't see it, and the effort which we're asking guys, that all we're asking for is to give it their best 100% of the time on the ice for 60 minutes or 65 minutes, whatever it is. And unfortunately, we're not getting 60-minute performances. We're getting 30, we're getting 40, we're getting 45, we're even getting 50 minutes. And then you're switching off for those 5, 6, 7 minutes, and all our teams are getting into the games. And that bit is a concern. I don't think, you see how hurt Adam is. And I've seen some of the tweets that have been getting out regarding attacking individuals, whether it's players or coaches. Guys, it has to stop. It's a low, I mean, you have to catch yourselves on. It's had a goal.
People are looking for reasons. Like, I understand that. As you're saying. People are looking for reasons, and they do. But, and people will get, you know, passionate on Twitter, and they'll point fingers at individual players. That's not just Twitter. That's happened. Like, I used to do that. I used to do that back on the forums and shit like that. That's just the way people sort of vent their anger. You know, I understand what you're saying. I understand that, you know, maybe it's not on at times, and some of the stuff does go beyond the pale. I totally agree with that. But people are still going to vent their anger.
I have no problem. I mean, listen, Adam's vented his anger in the locker room. We vented our anger in the office. And we know exactly what the guys are doing, the fans are talking about. But some of it's getting very, very personal. Mm-hmm. And it's affecting individuals, if you want to put it that way. David did a speech at the start of the season at one of the shows about be kind to each other. And this is a low point for us in the last 4-5 years. And it's tough. It really is tough to get going. We're sitting in third place. And it's a lot of people think that the world's over. It's not. And let's make this abundantly clear. The Sheffield Steelers are absolutely outstanding this season. They are playing some really good hockey. They've got a brilliant team. And they deserve to be where exactly they are. We're not that far. I think it's 2 points behind Cardiff, is it, right now? Yep. You know, and you know, obviously with the game there at the weekend, we maybe had a chance to go ahead. But it's one of the ones where it's hurting everybody within the organization. And we just need to get together. We really need to try and support the team through this difficult period. Changes are being made. You know, are they all done at the minute? I don't know. It's up to Steve and Adam and where we are right now. The fans have asked for change in their opinion. Ultimately, that doesn't matter because it's up to Adam and it's up to Steve and it's up to the coaching staff who comes in and who goes out. And hopefully, with what we talked about earlier about colleagues being changed and Josh Roach, let's talk about Josh Roach as well, which we'll go on to talk about shortly. Josh Roach is a really important cog in this wheel as well. So, and then obviously Goody today. So, it's really hurting everybody within the organization of where the results have been and games that we've lost from winning positions. And that's something that we're not used to. And hopefully we can start to turn that around.
Davey, you were going to come in there.
Just to sort of say, even in the game where we were 4-0 up, we're not driving home leads like that. I've seen Scott Finley saying there, I thought it was going to be 7 or 8. If we hammer home when we're in a strong position like we haven't converted enough. Like, I'm sure if those that love the stats, if you went into our XG for, XG against, game on game, we should be scoring more goals. And we didn't score goals at crucial times of game. And maybe if you're 5-6-7-0 up against Coventry Blaze, well, then it doesn't matter if you take 5 minutes off. We're giving teams hope when they should be out of games. We're letting them stay in games where they should be gone. And then you throw them you dangle a carrot for them, and all of a sudden they're back in the game. And momentum, as we talk about many, many times in hockey, it can get you can ride momentum, but you can also, and I think Simon's saying there about things on Twitter and stuff, the Belfast jersey is probably one of the heaviest jerseys in the league, and not everybody can carry it. And it's difficult whenever then people are on top of you as well. And I can read the comments coming down the side here. Professional sportsmen should maybe be able to take this criticism, and that's a fair comment as well. However, some people handle it differently. And the world has changed in that 10 years ago when we were going, or 15 years ago when we were early elite league days and things were terrible as an organisation and as a league and the product wasn't great. You didn't really have Twitter to go on and moan. We sat in a bar and you had a pint and you slagged people off and you went home. It's in your face. These guys, whether you say they should be able to, you did it. These guys are able to pick a phone up, and if they search for their own name or whatever, for whatever reason they're reading this, it's hard. I am the softest critter, as small as you tell me. I hate criticism. I find it very, very hard to deal with. And when people get at me on Twitter for being a happy clapper or whatever, I take that dead personal. And I can only imagine what it must feel like to be a professional sportsman and have 5,000 people booing you, or, you know, would it motivate me? Negativity, pouring negativity into something doesn't necessarily get you a positive outcome. I think we said that before. But listen, it is what it is. We've dropped really, really strong positions, and that's unacceptable. And Adam has to deal with that. That's where he earns his corn now. And George Awada and Rob Stewart and Jeff Mason and all the leadership group within that room have to step up and be kind. I'll say that to finish it with a positive note, at the end of the year last year, after 20 whatever, hang on, got it here on my phone. Here we are. after 24 games played at the top of the league, the Guildford Flames had 43 points. Sheffield Steelers have played 25 games, one more game, and have got 45 points. We are in exactly the same position, game for game, at the top of the league as what there was last season. Now, is it more a bit dog-eat-dog blow? And are the teams below the Sheffield Steelers not in as good a form? Are we in as good a place as we were 12 months ago and go and close that gap? We're probably two or three games behind where we were, and we probably don't have quite as strong a roster in terms of putting the puck behind other goaltenders. And the Sheffield Steelers are flying and are deep. So it's going to be an uphill struggle to get there. You can only go one game at a time. And I just hope that these little changes change mindsets, bit more leadership coming into the locker room, Rochie coming back, like having a new player in, David Goodwin coming back, tuned up. You know, so all we can do is go one shift at a time and hope that the mindset changes and that we'll start to get a bit tougher and one win becomes two. And all we can do at this, it's early, it's in the year. All you can do is hope. That's the hope that kills you, isn't it, Paddy? That we can take one step, one chunk at a time, because otherwise we're playing for nothing. So you've got the hope that this team will turn it around and start chipping in that lead. Sheffield haven't came up against massive adversity yet. They haven't came up against, it's not our position on this podcast to list out the adversity in terms of injuries that the Belfast Giants have gone through. It's nearly 200 games in terms of guys missed this season. Almost 200 games. Now, I know we've been able to bring in replacements, but it's been difficult. Mark Cooper's hardly played in the last whatever amount of months or amount of weeks. You're missing your captain. You know, there are reasons why we're a little bit, but in terms of those big leads, you should be closing them games. Like, game management hasn't been good enough.
There's so changes. Just following up on the Steelers thing, Paddy. I mean, I went back and watched one of their games there at the weekend, I think, against Cardiff. They were absolutely brilliant. I mean, they're getting really good goaltending. They're getting guys you're scoring. They're playing four lines every single night. And you've got to hand it to them. I mean, look, as much as it is hard, you know, to say this about Sheffield, it's going to take some effort for any other team to beat them, whether it's even just an individual game. I mean, they're on a great run of form at the minute as well. But you know, credit where credit's due, they've been absolutely outstanding this season.
So this is I'm going to move on quickly in a second to the changes that have taken place. I don't know, I missed out, my apologies, I missed out Johnny Curran there just from something Davey said, remind me on it. But this ultimately is where this league is. And I had a conversation earlier this week, I think it was with Scott Finley actually, but about about where this Giants sits, and you know how, you know, we've come after a Grand Slam and the comparisons that are met. And yes, you look at the Sheffield Steelers side; they kept a lot of their core and they've tweaked it the same way we did 2 years ago in the last year's Grand Slam. Last year's Grand Slam team was more or less the same team from the year before, with one or two or three little tweaks that sort of pushed us to the next level. You know, especially when Tyler Bescarani came back in. Now we've went through the curse of a top level side is you lose a lot of those players. Some of them are coming back, but you go through that change, and there's a lot of comparisons being made between this side and last year's side, and I don't think that's fair, because last year's side were out of this world, exceptional. And we've went through the changes and we've tried to recruit to a similar level, trying to recruit to the same level with the resources we have. It's probably not happened. They're still trying. We're still trying to develop. We're still in third place. Given the fact that we feel that we've had a bad season, we're in third place. And only the Sheffield Steelers, who have an exceptional season, haven't lost an away game yet, which, considering we're in the new year, is remarkable. That's where we sit. Now, let me bring one final point is, that's how this league works. It's transitional. Every single year is a transitional year. Every single year you try to rebuild, you try to put the same sort of teams together and you try to win the league. This year, Sheffield have done it and they've done it well. And it looks like they are in the box seat for the league championship. But it's up to us. It's up to Nottingham. It's up to Cardiff to stop them. You know, that's just how the league competition works. One quick thing I want to say is like the changes. Johnny Curran's moved on. He's went back to Coventry. He's scoring for fun. But, you know, Q's gone today. We've got Goody coming back in. Rochi's back in the lineup, which is great to see. We've got Cully coming in as well, who's come back in. It's great to have him on the blue. These are the sort of mentality changes of bringing in some of the mentality from last year, some of that winning mentality from last year, and guys who know says how to play in this league.
Yeah, and hopefully, again, they can pass that knowledge down. But let's be honest, I mean, Davey has the stats regarding David Goodwin and what he's won as a captain in the Belfast Giants organisation. I think he's the most successful captain we've ever had. And, you know, he knows how to win. And when I was speaking to him, he was in Belfast about 4 weeks ago. And it's funny, I mean, obviously, we don't get a chance to speak to him soon. But when you look at the when he was here 4 weeks ago and saying, and he was, you know, Robert was doing his best to try and get him to stay, don't go back to Spain, you know, stay here, and you may as well enjoy the Christmas and enjoy the weather. And let's be honest, I mean, the weather in Northern Ireland certainly knows what it's like in Northern Spain. And I remember sitting joking, he loved the new dressing rooms. He really liked the changes that we'd made about the arena. He said at that stage, I'm really enjoying Spain, blah, blah, blah. 3-4 weeks later, he's now back again. And I think that little trip to Belfast when he was here 4 weeks ago played a massive part in that. But, you know, we just have to take one game at a time. Try and, I don't want to say forget what's happened so far this season, but guys, you really just need to step up. And I mean, Adam was in the locker room this morning. The boys were back in practice this morning. And, you know, he's basically told him what's expected. And Davey just brought up a point regarding the weightless sweater of the Belfast Giants. We do put pressure on the players that come into Belfast to win. Sheffield do exactly the same. Cardiff do the same. You know, I'm sure Glasgow would have done the same this year with the amount of money they've spent and you're putting their team together. Nottingham, obviously in difficult circumstances.
Davey did that earlier this week. Don't start the money thing. Davey did that earlier this week and all the Sheffield.
I didn't.
He didn't start it. No, but, you know, if you're a professional athlete, there's pressure on you. Make no mistake about it. And some people handle it better than others. And, you know, we were very, very lucky last year, Paddy. Let's be honest, we didn't play great up until November. And even through November, we struggled. And obviously, we got those two losses against Manchester at home. And that was a catalyst for change. And obviously, went on, I think we won 12 in a row after that. Lost two, won 11 in a row. And is this team capable of going on 12 and 13 game streaks? It's going to be very, very difficult. But it starts with one. So, you know, obviously this weekend is going to be a tough, tough ask against the Nottingham Panthers. And hopefully the guys can come together. We can basically just recalibrate the whole thing and get ready to go. Because, you know, hopefully, as I say, Cully's going to be back this weekend. Rochi, who we're going to talk to very shortly, I thought did very well on Saturday evening. It was great to see him back. The leadership of Goody coming back in again. And hopefully, as I say, those guys know how to play in this league. And it's a big, big part of being successful.
A couple of things. So, I know we've got Josh Roach waiting in the wings. We're going to come to him in just a moment. Just one last sort of thing to round this sort of out between the two years. I'll start with you, Davey. What position are we in now? We're looking at the back end of the season. Oh, sorry, we're more or less at halfway through the season. I don't think we are even, like, games-wise halfway through, but we're more or less now on the final sort of 3 months of this season. What position are we in? With the changes, with the league, with the league, with the changes, with the way we're playing, with what we can do.
Oh, you mean a bigger question than we're third?
Third? Yeah. Well, yeah. I was sort of expecting you to go, we're third.
As I said and before Simon spoke there, Sheffield Steelers are in exactly point for point same position as the Guildford Flames were last season. We're a couple of games back from where we were last season, and we're coming off a slippery kind of, you know, few months that we've had. We weren't good in November last year. We weren't good early December, and then we went on a run. So it's about going on a run, right? It's about, was Simon said exactly what I said. It starts with one period. It starts with one shift. It starts with one game. You know, go and win the first game this weekend. It's probably the most important game we're going to play for a very long time, is the first game in this run that we need to put together. And Goody, Will Cullen, Rootsy, all these guys coming back, and we just need a galvanizing effect here, and we just need to get one win under our belt and see where it takes us. See where it takes us. We've got Besko back in now after Spengler Cup exploits. Jackson, who we haven't mentioned at all, came in and had to play back-to-back-to-back-to-back games that he hasn't played in a number of seasons and done remarkably well. Nice, strong tandem going forwards in Nets there. Jackson, obviously, the games he plays gives you the opportunity maybe to roll that extra import as well. So, you know, let's get bodies fit. Say we're still missing our captain, still out injured. Guys maybe that have been carrying those little knocks will be able to get them rested here over the last 10 days. It's been a busy, busy month. It's been a busy, busy December, and we've came through it, and we are where we are, and all we can do now is go best foot forward here and see where one game at a time takes us.
Simon, what position are we in? Don't say third.
Yeah. Look, I know, obviously, we've got what's going on behind the scenes, so it's would I like to be in a closer position to Sheffield? Yeah, absolutely. But you can only do what you've got left to do with half the season left. The first half, let's be honest, has not been good enough as a group. As results, as a performances, has not been good enough. And I genuinely think we can get better. I really do. I think we can still go on here. And you know, do you aim for second place? Do you aim for third place? Do you aim for the playoffs? Do you aim for, you know, we obviously were out of the Challenge Cup. It only takes, ultimately, you only need to win three games to win the playoff title. And, you know, it's one of those ones where Sheffield are going to take some catching in the league, but we've still got an opportunity to win a trophy at the end of this season. Coventry have done it from eighth place about 5 or 6 years ago. Cardiff have done it from third and second place over the last couple of years. It can be done. And, you know, you just basically try, as David touched on, try and get on a run, try and get some positivity back in your play, try and get some, you know, the more goals going happening. I think Besko, the rest that Besko's had over the last 2 weeks could do him a hell of a lot of good as well. I've seen him in practice this morning. He's looking good. Jackson, again, you know, he's had a tough ask over the last couple of weeks and playing five games in that space of time. And it's great to have him back playing back-to-back games as well. So I think we're in a better spot now than what we were a month ago. Maybe some people might not think that's the case, but with the changes that we've made and we're, you know, knowing Adam as I know him, I think we'll start to pick up from here on in.
We've got a few loads of other things coming in today's show. We've got the player of the month coming. We've got an interview of Doug Christensen and what we're going to go on with now. Oh, one more thing. Congratulations to Gavin Kelly, who was the emergency backup for the Five Flyers in the game that was took place. Obviously, Gavin's been around the club for 20 odd years, and he's been a key part of the setup down at Dundonald. And I know that he was, when we had our goalie problems, he stepped in and Fife called him up, and he was able to be on the bench and got the win with the Five Flyers in the at the SSE. So yeah, congratulations to Gav and fair play to him.
Yeah. I was going to have him barred from the arena after that, getting on the winning team, and we're just that's him out the door.
Did he celebrate? Did he run on the ice to celebrate? That's what I want to know. I was
kind of I've seen on his Twitter that he watched the Five Flyers on Sunday night, so you know he's a big flyer now.
He did the lap and clapped the Five fans and all, so I think he says bar for that, but congratulations.
But I don't know, fair play. He lived
a wee dream we'd all love to have lived.
Absolutely. You know, so 100%.
100%. Yeah, can't knock that. Right, let's go to the first of our guests. A man who, well, when things were getting tense at the NIC in the playoff final, he looked around at us all and he says, lads, calm down. It's all right. And he was right. He's back on the ice. Please welcome to View from the Bridge, Josh Roach. How are you doing, mate?
Hello. Thank you. How are you guys doing?
Doing very well. Good to see you back on the ice, mate. How did it feel?
A little bit surreal. It was a long time coming. Nice to kind of see something full circle. But yeah, the whole day I was pretty wound up, and that didn't really fade throughout the game. But overall, I got through it. First one's done, so on to the next.
Obviously, you've spent the first half of the season just watching on and dying to get out there, dying to be part of this team. You're saying that, you know, the sweats came, the nerves came when the time came to put the skates back on and get out there?
Absolutely. Like in practice and whatever else, you can only kind of do so much, and it's hard to mimic any sort of like game-like scenarios. Nobody wants to be the guy to like come and hit you and do whatever and potentially hurt you. So you try to get your little hits where you can. But overall, yeah, kind of the next few games, I think I'll settle in. But for sure, some nerves that first one.
Rochi, you made the decision to stay in Belfast and rehab rather than maybe go back home and do it. Lots of school visits, lots of charity stuff to keep you busy. But was that a good decision in hindsight?
I think so. Yeah, it was nice to, like I said, kind of start the process here and see it through here and not kind of have to go home and sort things out with physio and doctor visits and whatever else there. And like you said, it gave me a chance to kind of do some stuff away from the rink that maybe we don't get the opportunity to do during the season. So yeah, I definitely enjoyed the off season, a little bit different than what I was used to, but could see myself doing it again.
And Paddy in his intro or in his first question there talked about, well, let's briefly talk about last season. Grand Slam, the playoff final, 1-0 down to Cardiff, and tensions were a wee bit high, and you did come in. You went, did you just have that feeling you knew somebody in that team, as they did last season, somebody kept stepping up? Steve Ari, obviously, in the final came up, but you just came in, you went, everybody, it's going to be okay.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, I think there was like an explicit in there too, or maybe a few. but honestly, like you said, I think it was just a matter of time. I thought throughout the game, we were kind of slowly taking over and just like weren't getting the break. And then Bomber from Gary kind of started us. And then from there, I think we just settled down, everybody on the ice and whoever was in that suite. And it was happy days from there.
Hi, Josh. Simon here, big fan. The weekend itself, obviously, you know, you're back on the ice again. Was it you that sort of did a little spell to bring the fog over Belfast and make Northern Ireland come to a standstill? So you could get only one game at the weekend to just blend yourself back into the way of a doubleheader weekend itself?
Honestly, not going to lie, I think that might have been a bit of a blessing. Like I said, I felt pretty good, but I played more than I kind of thought I would. And then to the travel and to play back-to-backs right off the bat might have been a big ask. So the longer we were sitting in the airport, the more I was kind of thinking maybe this is a real thing. So like I said, maybe a blessing, but I think the boys kind of enjoyed their day yesterday. We got together and had some fun, so that was good.
Was it, you know, we were sitting on the bench and you're maybe playing 17, 18 minutes. Was Adam Sten, you know, on top of you to say, make sure you're okay, you know, not to give you too many minutes, not to put too much pressure on you in your first game back?
Yeah, we had talked about it a little bit before, and then I think more so the onus is just on me, like, coming to the bench and understanding it's like if I don't have the gas or I'm not feeling it, maybe to be like, hey, I don't know if I'm ready, and we should send somebody else out so I don't hurt the team. But I think being able to kind of just roll my shifts and not have to sit and wait and do whatever else might have been a little bit better. But yeah, I think just like jumping right back into it was probably the best case.
Just when we look at last season, you know, there's a lot of people refer to Besko coming back as when we really lift it off. And while that's, you know, part of that's very true, I mean, when Besko came in, we did really, really well. But I think they're doing it yourself a wee bit of an injustice here, because when you come back last year, you know, you could see a real difference in the team, in my opinion. I don't know how the other boys feel. But obviously, you're coming back again this year after that, you know, that bad injury that you picked up back in February. Does it feel... Does the locker room, and I know you've been around the boys, I know you've been practicing with them over the last couple of months, but does the locker room feel, you know, different now? Or is it one of those ones where, you know, is there a different feeling in the room because of the way things have been going of late? And do you think we can obviously manage to get that turned around slowly but surely and push on for the remainder of the season?
Yeah, maybe a bit. Like, definitely for me, I missed the entire first half last year, so I kind of came in as a new player and not really kind of knowing many of the guys. And then this year, obviously, kind of being here from the beginning and seeing things and how they've gone in our course of events and whatnot, has been kind of a unique perspective. But honestly, I think as of late, we've kind of understood like what we need to do and what it's going to take. A little bit, like I said, like different dynamic, obviously. I think we have a little bit of a younger team. But overall, everybody that's in that room is kind of with each other, and we know kind of what one another brings to the table. And it's kind of, you know what, if you can do that, then I can do my job, and then we just build off of that.
Ultimately, no, I know you were sitting in the background there where we were having that chat just about the last number of weeks, and you got the gist of how we were approaching it. The last question I asked to these boys was, you know, where do we sit? How do we stand? You know, from your point of view, going into these final couple of months, these final 3 months of the season, where do you think we stand as a team?
I think we're in good shape moving forward. Like you guys touched on with Sheffield, I think it's probably a big ask for us to catch them or anybody to catch them. They're in pretty good form, and unless they kind of slip significantly, it'll be hard to catch. But overall for us, you touched on a couple of additions. I think having some familiar faces come in and who are comfortable and kind of know the city, and it's just an easy transition, will help. And then, like Davey touched on, just like getting a streak started. We have 2 games at home. If we can get both wins, you know, we go on the road next week and play Nottingham again to start. So I think just like 1 game at a time. Obviously, we have to like think about that because we've been struggling. But we need to get on a little bit of streak and play with a little bit more confidence, I think.
You've been one of those guys who've, you know, come in mid-season. You've done it. You're the last season. You see that, you know, we are bringing back, you know, Cully. We are bringing back good guys that know Belfast Giants, guys that know the setup. But how difficult is it to come back in or to come into a room midway through a season and try to affect a change?
It can be difficult, obviously, and especially when, as a group, we have our ups and downs and are struggling a bit. But I think with anybody coming into the lineup, new face or somebody coming from injury, it's just adding value in whatever way that you can. If you're not scoring that night or doing whatever, you're in a slump, just blocking shots or getting the puck out or just keeping things simple so you're not hurting the team. And I think, like I said, if everybody can add value on a consistent basis, we'll win more games than we lose.
How are you looking? How do you feel coming into this weekend then against Nottingham?
I'm feeling good. Like I said, we had a good day when we got the Cardiff game canceled, a day off the following day. So a few solid practices this week. And I think like we're excited. Like we know what we're capable of in the room. And I think it's just like a matter of time before like we just like string it together.
Well, listen, Roche, it's great to see you back in the ice. Really good to see you back in the ice. Really good to see you back in that Belfast Giants shirt. And we look forward to seeing you all the way through the stretch and to the end of the season. Thanks for joining us, mate.
Very nice. Thank you. Cully is actually in the other room. He's going to be on my computer, so I'll just...
Okay, I'll drop you out. You can once he all comes right, back. Cool.
Thanks, cheers, guys. Roche. Bye-bye.
Cheers, Roche. Thanks, Roche.
Big thanks to Josh Roche, who's now off to get Will Cullen. But, you know, and as we said, Davey, just there, you know, having a player like Josh Roche come in, especially on the power play as well, a guy who likes to quarterback that power play, given the way our power play's been for this season, let's be fair, it's not been top notch, but have Roche come into the side should improve that.
It added a little bit of fluidity. I don't want to say that anybody that was on the power play before wasn't performing well. You know, it gives different people different opportunities to play power play time that they wouldn't normally play. But he came in there, you've Charlie Curdy probably on one line and Josh on the other one now, slipping it about at the top of the umbrella there. So, you know, it gives Adam another option with the extra man. So that's a good thing. Josh has obviously won here plenty before. He knows what it is to be a Giant. He knows how important the 54 league, you know, game league season is. Not everybody, I don't think all the new guys coming in have maybe got just that it is a grind, and you know, maybe we're through the dog days now, and maybe this is a chance to get that, you know, best foot forward is what we're talking about.
Right, let's crack on. Well, I think it's just being set up here in the background. Another man who's back with regards to the Belfast Giants, another Grand Slam winner, and who's returned to the Giants just in the last few days. Please welcome back to View from the Bridge, Will Cullen. How you doing, man?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Not too bad. Welcome back.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate the warm welcome. Everyone's been super nice since I got into town, so it's been good.
How has the return come about?
I think after I left, like, the first team I was on this year in Europe, I kind of wanted to come back, but there just wasn't really an opportunity. So obviously when this came along, I jumped on it, and I wanted to come back and be a Giant again. So I'm excited how it played out, and just can't wait to play again.
Let's take briefly back to last season, at the end of last season, and winning that Grand Slam with the Giants. You know, the celebrations were phenomenal, but it shows you just what a great team that was.
Yeah, I mean, we had a great group of guys, and obviously we had a lot of success, and I wanted to come back right away. I mean, it was just a lot of fun, and I had a lot of great memories, and I'm just excited to be back, honestly.
What is it, Will? You know, tell me as a Belfast man, what is it makes you want to come and live in my town? Because like
Art Bar, so... what?
Just
you're not allowed to say Art Bar.
Yeah, right. that might play a factor too. No, just being able to come, you know, to this rink every day, and like the support we get from the fans it's obviously one of the best in the league, and I've never felt like from an organization like so much like they just want your life to be better outside, like away from the rink, and like they do a great job, and we appreciate everyone that helps, and there's a lot of moving parts that goes into this, and doesn't go unnoticed. We definitely appreciate it.
Right back at the start of the season, we were talking to some of the newer guys that came in. We almost asked this question on a weekly basis about how important it is to be happy away from the rink. And maybe through the hard month of November and December there, where results haven't been going our way, people haven't maybe had a smile on their face like they could have. But look, a new year gives that opportunity to, you know, reset and get a wee bit happy and start getting the wins going again here.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's been a few changes. Hopefully it'll be like a breath of fresh air for everyone that's coming in and the new guys. And like at the end of the day, we're a good team, and we just need to get over that hump of closing games out and winning them by that goal difference or whatever it may be, you know.
Well, when you obviously, you know, you know what to expect when you're coming back into Belfast. You've been in the arena before. You know the way Adam expects you to play. You were on the ice this morning for the first time. How did it go this morning?
Yeah, it was good. Everyone seemed, you know, happy and up at practice. So, I mean, that was a good sign. And we had a good skate today. We did some battling and got better. So I'd say overall, like the day of practice, it was a success. And I enjoyed it. It's I definitely think it's nice that we're starting the new year, and we'll be on a higher note for sure.
You look at what, you know, the guys that came back from last year. You've got Wes and Besko. You've got Roche. Hanks obviously back again this year. You mentioned that you played with Aaron Azarian growing up as well. Does that make it easier to settle back in again? Because, you know, obviously there's a lot more people, a lot more new guys in the room than what there was last year for coming into it.
Yeah, no, it's really nice being able to play with guys that, you know, you've played with before, and it makes it an easy transition coming into a room where, you know, you have good buddies, and you don't feel as alone as, you know, you usually would if you're going to a new team where you don't really know anybody. And obviously that everyone speaks English, that's always a plus.
Is that harkening back to that move into Europe? Do you feel that
was... There was only one other North American, so it was tough at first, but I mean, I settled in, but obviously it's a lot easier to settle into this room, and a lot of guys that you know about or you've played with, you played against in the past, but it's a great group of guys in that locker room, and I'm excited to get to lace them up this weekend with them.
I found that a really interesting point, because obviously, you know, this whole idea of, you know, have skates will travel, having a trade that you're able to translate across, you know, across the Atlantic and come over to Europe and do that. But it's not just as simple as that, is it? It's not as simple as just basically saying, I'm going to go and play in Slovenia, I'm not going to go and play in Italy, I'm going to go play in Sweden. There's an integration, and the language side of it is huge.
Yeah, no, for sure. And kind of last year when it was my first year in Europe, that was a big reason I chose to come to Belfast, was the language barrier like wasn't really there. But it definitely is an adjustment, and it's not always like the easiest transition for sure, but obviously here it's much easier.
We do find it difficult understanding your accent sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, right back at you, Kitchy. I told some people, I was like, I need at least a week or two to get the people's accents back again, because it definitely is a change, but I got pretty good at it last year.
Go on, then. Give us an example.
Well, I mean, I was sitting next to Dicko.
Oh, wow.
The entire year last year, and he was kind of just saying things, and I would nod. I'm pretty sure I told you guys about this, but I would just like nod, and he'd be waiting for me to answer. I would just never answer because I didn't know what he was saying. I'd just kind of laugh and be like, and he'd look at me, and he was like, it's this guy's problem, probably, is what he was thinking.
And then you got Garcay. I mean, we still struggle to find out what Garcay said.
Actually, I sat next to Gary too, and he's easier to understand than Dicko was.
Let me put a question to you coming in from John Ford, who's watching along. He says, you've come back to a different situation in Belfast with one cup already gone. How different is it to come back as part of the solution to turn this around and battle for the other two?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously not easy to say. Like, we've got a lot of work to do, but I think that's something that, you know, everybody in the room understands, that, you know, we have a winning culture here, and we need to, you know, we need to get the job done, and like, we got to work hard for it. It's not just going to come, you know.
And how's the preparation going for this weekend against Nottingham?
It was good today. We had a great skate, and I'm sure we're just going to build on, because we definitely got better today in practice, and we're just going to build on that the next 2 days and be ready to go here for this weekend.
Well, Cully, listen, it's really good to see you back. Really good to see you back in the side. Welcome back to Belfast. We look forward to seeing you on the ice. And
Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
Good to see you, mate. Take care.
All right. I'll talk to you guys. Bye. Thank you.
Cheers,
Colin. Big thanks to Will Cullen. And says, I'll go to you on this. You know, another Grand Slam winner back with the Belfast Giants.
Look, he's a good guy. Laura and I went and picked him up at the airport there on Saturday. He was exhausted after all the traveling, but wanted to come to the game, and he actually watched the game. And then he had to fly out yesterday to sort a few bits of paperwork for his work permit and what have you. And he's back, and everything's sorted now. So he'll be ready to go this weekend, and he's really looking forward to it. I had a chat with him this morning. The more people you have around you who have won before, to pass on knowledge, whether they're 21, 25, or 55, the more people that you have that know, he just mentioned it there now, you know, Belfast are used to being a winning culture. And that's something that we need to just get in their head that, you know, that we do expect guys to win. We do expect trophies at the end of every season. And it's disappointing if you don't get them. So I think it's great to have him back. I think it's great that, you know, Hank's back, obviously. And at the start of the season, you know, I know there's a lot of moving parts. And when you get offers from leagues like Slovenia, and that was all due to being such a good player last year. I mean, Davey, I can't remember many points he had last year, but I mean, up until November especially, he was absolutely superb. And it's tough to try and hold on to players when they're getting their eyes opened by hockey and prospects and ultimately, you know, a better league in Slovenia, or whether it's Cons going to Slovakia or Austria for Steve Ari. You get all these different offers, and it's very, very difficult for us to hold on to them. And they move on because of the success that they've had here, and they want to try and emulate that when they go away. And sometimes it doesn't always work out. So it's great to have him back. As he says, we talked to him earlier in the season there when he left Slovenia to head back to Toledo. And luckily, we've managed to get a deal done for him now, and he's back and be wearing a Belfast Giants jersey this weekend.
We did invite David Goodwin, who was announced today. We did invite him to join us on the show. He came back to us. Unfortunately, he's in his own words, he's undertaking some trains, planes, and automobiles. He did take a moment on a very noisy Spanish train to send us this.
Hey, Giants fans, David Goodwin here. I'm on my way back to Belfast from Spain right now. Unfortunately, I'm not able to join the podcast tonight, but I will be joining you guys soon.
If you're listening to that or just like on an audio only podcast, trust me, if you listen very carefully, David Goodwin is there. He's on a noisy Spanish train. I think he's on his way to Barcelona and to fly in. One person, I'll add this in, one person who was very happy at this announcement is an old friend of ours in Dahi McGowan.
Somebody else came back.
Hey.
He was our captain last year. Hey.
Goody.
Goody's back.
Fantastic. Just it goes to show like how much it means to these kids. So that's really good. Dahi McGowan, big thanks to Martin for setting that through. But Davey, in David Goodwin, what are the Belfast Giants getting? What is coming back into the locker room now?
Well, you're getting leadership, and we were talking about losing games from winning positions, and that comes down to mindset, and you know, sometimes you need someone to keep you in check, and the Mark Cooper, obviously, as the captain, being out injured has been a massive factor, and you know, missing that little bit of leadership at times, you see in games where keeps getting back into and things looked a wee bit rosier, and then obviously he's gone out again, and yeah, I have obviously no idea on the status of that, but you know, Goody come in, he gives you he brings that leadership, he brings a know-how that he's done it before over however many games coming up, I suppose in 200 games, maybe, I'm sure, certainly 150 plus games for us. He's won, he's lifted trophies, and he knows what it's like to go through, and I used the term earlier, I think it was Jordan Boucher that first put it on this, the dog days. He knows what it's like to go through hard times and come out on the positive side of it. See, we're not that far behind where we were last season. Sheffield Steelers aren't that far ahead of where Guildford were last season. For the third time in the podcast, I'll say this. This season still has 50% to run. It's going to be a mammoth task, and it's going to be an uphill climb every single night. Every journey starts with one foot in front of the other, and that's all we can do. And David Goodwin will be at the front of the queue going, follow me, boys.
Says, what's Goody bringing to the locker room? What does he bring onto the ice of the SSE arena?
Yeah, I think it's very much the same. You know, we look like a team that just wants somebody to go, do you know what? I want to grab this by the back of the neck and trail it forward. And hopefully Goody, again, having a chat with him earlier this week, he's really looking forward to coming in. He's already spoke to Steve and Adam and Laura, basically said that he wants to be involved with any community events that we have organized. I'm pretty sure he's probably going to be put to work straight tomorrow night with an event that we have organized. So it's that's exactly what you, with that buy-in and that, you know, the mindset, it's refreshing and great to hear. So it's great to have him back. And again, you know, the captain role or the leadership role that David Goodwin can be there. And you know what? It's not just you don't need a C in your chest to be a leader. You don't need an A in your chest to be a leader. But he can help Mark Cooper, and he can help Ben Lake, and he can help Jeff Baum, and he can help Kieran Long, and basically be a leader within that group. It seems Tyler Besco-Arana. You know, Besco is a big leader in that group as well, and he doesn't have an A in his chest. So it's the experience. That it's going to be important, hopefully, and knowing David Goodwin as I know him, I know he's going to be hungry. He's not coming back here just to make the numbers up.
One last thing before we move on to the player of the month. Davey, just bringing it back to Will Cullen, you shared these statistics at the end of last season. It just goes to show the numbers-wise what he brings.
The very bottom one is actually one I didn't think about there. Six man of match performances from the back end. It's very good, especially when you say that 14 goals, 29 assists. 15 premiers, 58, a lot of hits, a lot of blocks, shoots the puck, shots on goal, very good ratio there. He brings a little bit of everything. You know, he's not the savior of the Belfast Giants here. I don't think we're going to be expecting Will Cullen to be Scott Conway, but if Will Cullen can be Will Cullen that he was last season, we've got a very, very good hockey player.
Here, here. Right.
Durable, I think, was 75 games we played last season, says, and he played 72 of them. So durable as well. So let's get him back in the lineup. He's played 28 games in Toledo, so he's fresh. He's ready to go.
Player of the month for December. We asked for your nominations, and from those, we've drawn up the following short list of four. I've not done the video for it because I ran out of time. Jeff Baum, Oliver Cooper, Bobby McIntyre, and Davey Phillips will be the nominees. The poll will open on Wednesday morning, and it will go on till Saturday, and it will hopefully be awarded after that. Big thanks to Phonacab, as always, for their support. Gentlemen, I will start
with Paddy.
You want me to choose? Okay. Yeah. From Jeff Baum, Oliver Cooper, Bobby McIntyre, and Davey Phillips, I choose Jeff Baum. I think Jeff Baum has come in on the back of his injury and coming back into the team. He hit the ice running. He was hitting everything. He was solid at the back. He was a leader on the ice. I was very, very impressed with how he's performed the last few weeks. And for that, he would be my player of the month for December. Simon?
I'm going to go for Bobby McIntyre. You know, he's come in there at the start of December. I think it's 12 points. I mean, obviously the game there, the weekend was January, so that I think he had 12 points in December, including four goals. It's coming into the team that we have, it was, you know, like a breath of fresh air. He was straight on the power play. But he also brought a bit of energy about him as well. I thought he, you know, I think he's been a really good addition to the locker room and on the ice as well. And really liking his game so far. So for me, Bobby McIntyre is the player of the month for November. December.
If you're watching live, if you're on YouTube, if you're on Facebook, if you're on X, tell us who you're going to vote for. Davey, who have you got from that? That is Bomber, OC, Bobby Mack, and Davey Phillips.
I put my comments, not that anybody reads my Twitter, but the other day, or my ex, honorable mentions, massive honorable mention to Bobby McIntyre. Simon's just called his numbers there. Oliver Cooper came back into the lineup and, as we expected, cleared the way for other people. Came up with a hat trick against Fife, but also, you know, created a lot of space and a lot of havoc. And I think he played at times with Laker. He played at times with Greg Prince. That's a big, heavy line when those three were going together. So I thought he'd done really well. Davey Phillips came up with his first goal for, what was it, 600 days or something, Simon?
Massive. 657 days.
And put in what was very unfortunate for him not to be a man of match performance. A very, very long month, but I thought Davey Phillips was exceptional as well. But for me, Jeff Baum played in every situation in the month, quarter play and the power play, penalty killing at times. And for me, Jeff Baum Senior, son, Jeff Baum Junior, Jeff Baum, player of the month.
as I said, the poll will open on Wednesday morning. It'll go all the way to Saturday evening ahead of that second game against Nottingham. Get your votes in on X/Twitter or whatever you want to call it these days, and we will award that the Aviv from the Bridge Player of the Month for December. Big thanks to Phonacab, as always, for sponsoring and looking after the award. A couple of things to do before we round everything up, and we've got Doug Christensen interview coming in just a moment. The Friendship Series took place this last weekend between Princeton and Providence. It was a series win for Princeton, 2-0. A 6-1 win on Friday and a 2-1 win on Saturday, the two games of the weekend. And it was, Simon, a fantastic event.
It was excellent, man. It's another one to add, you know, the what we do and what we've done over the last number of years. And Princeton and Providence coming in and doing a great job. You just see that it's like a breath of fresh air again coming in. And a lot of people were in the arena who don't normally get a chance to be in the arena. We had a lot of schools in on Friday, but a lot of youth groups in on Saturday. Over the weekend, I think it was 6,000 fans for the two games, which is from according to the coach of Princeton, she was saying that, you know, it's more fans than these girls have ever played in front of before. So, you know, that's a really good message that they're taking back to North America. And I know that the schools are already organized for next year. And, you know, obviously we've fallen off the back of the Friendship Series. You've got the Friendship Four coming in 10 months' time, which I'm going to be honest, I can't wait for. I think it's going to be absolutely amazing. You know, the four teams that are lined up for that, it's going to be absolutely sensational. I'm sure you've probably got your flights booked already, Paddy.
I mean, I can't wait. Not that I'm following any one team specifically, but what's this hanging up here? Hold on.
For goodness sake.
That's just a pure coincidence. A pure coincidence. I can't remember who gave me this, Davey. You did, mate. But yeah, no, it's going to be a fantastic thing. Is his frozen there? Or just like fixing his hair? He seems to have frozen. Davey, let's come to you then, the Friendship Series.
Ah, mate, look at it. 22 orange women on the screen. What's not the love about that? But that aside, I know I've said before, if you can't see it, you can't be it. And I know Johnny Harvey's saying it's amazing for his little daughter, Poppy, to be able to see women playing hockey. Because if you can't see them playing hockey, then you can't be that hockey player. You need to be able to see it to live that dream. And we talked about Gavin earlier, you know, going on and living his dream as a hockey player at the Odyssey. And he wanted to be with the Giants, but to get to live that dream out. So this is, and I've seen so many positivity messages from mums and stuff that were down there. But great for dads to be down there too. Let's take nothing away. The women's game is every bit as much hockey as the men's game. And delighted to see them wanting to come back. Delighted to see big crowds in there. And you know, really looking forward also to the Friendship Four coming back in at Thanksgiving in November. But you know, another really great event put on by the staff at the arena and all those volunteers that do such great work for our organization.
The winning team in Princeton obviously come from the ECAC conference, whom the commissioner is now a man responsible for one of the championship banners in our arena. Doug Christensen spoke with Simon at the weekend on the webcast. It's an audio-only one, but it was so good we thought we would share it with you today on this podcast. So enjoy.
Booby-trapped it.
Absolutely. Lee, could have given you it the way around. How's things?
I'm good yourself.
It's good to see you back in Belfast
it's
again.
It's good to be back. It's been a while.
We're just talking about Mark Garcia. We'd seen you drop in the puck and you gave him his chance in Edinburgh, and they obviously brought him to Belfast, so you know this guy very well.
I know him very well. I've seen his music. I've seen him as a kid. It's the fact that he has three kids right now has blown my mind. I mean, that's another level.
Indeed. Back in Belfast for one reason. Yeah, well, not really one reason, because you love the place anyway, but you get the opportunity to come back with in your new role as commissioner, and you must be really pleased the way the event went for the Friendship Series.
It was outstanding, obviously, from an ECAC point of view. Princeton to win both games is fantastic. But more than that, it's the opportunity for the student-athletes for both Providence and Princeton to be able to see Belfast, experience it, understand what the city has done around the sport of hockey. And then for the women, in many ways, it's an opportunity for them to showcase the game to a next generation, people who might not be exposed to women's hockey. And that obviously grows the sport. And it was fantastic. I think we probably had 6,000 people here the last couple of days. That's wonderful.
Well, I want to take you back to Belfast. 2010, you came in here and you won a championship. You obviously had three great years here. What's your memories from back then?
I loved it. I've said this many, many times. It was three of the most enjoyable years of my life, some of the most meaningful years of my life. Things went well professionally. We obviously won a championship. We had a ton of fun, but, you know, we played the Boston Bruins. We did a Christmas video that went a little bit viral,
absolutely.
I think. You know, we
they
did
still play it every year as well.
Do they really? Well, you know, that's, you know, fairly, they don't have enough other things to put out there. But no, jokes aside, I mean, it was really great professionally. And then personally, I met my wife here. I got married here. So just all of the things, being able to go into the restaurants and walk close to where we lived and go to all the different places, was just really special. And so for me, coming back in a different role, this is the first time I've ever watched a Giants game from the stands. So it's a different perspective, but it's obviously really enjoyable for me to be back.
The 10 years that you've been away, there's been a few changes around the city as well. I mean, you've been here for a few days now. Have you had a chance? I know you've spent a lot of time in the arena, and you've been obviously, you've met Adam Keefe, you've been sitting, like every time I've been in that room with him, you've been there all week, you've been speaking to Steve Thornton. But watch again, look at the bigger picture from the city itself. Anything caught your eye since you've been away?
Well, I mean, I'll just start with the building itself. I mean, when I was here, you now see the extra seats coming in, and they're there all the time. And they only came in for big games back in the day. You see the improvements to the locker room. I mean, the Odyssey Pavilion is growing and expanding and doing great. And you see the whole area of the Titanic Court. I mean, when I was here, when I started here, the Titanic Museum didn't exist. Now, by the time I left, it did.
Yeah.
But so you see that area of growth. And then you see all of the reinvestment of new bars. I mean, you might be surprised, but people do find their ways there when they come across. And so you see new bars, new pubs, and new restaurants throughout the town. And then it also maintained a lot of the ones that are like those really cool cultural places, cultural restaurants that are fun to showcase to our people who came over from Princeton and from Providence.
And obviously, you mean, you left from here and went somewhere else. We're not talking about Sheffield. Leaving Sheffield, you get a chance to coach in the ECHL. You were there at the Indy Fuel for a couple of years. And now you've ended up in a really important role with the commissioner's title in the ECAC. And it's not just a friendship series that we've held here in Belfast, but it's the Friendship Four, which we're looking forward to coming again back in November.
Well, I can't wait to come back. Obviously, we're going to have four great teams. Obviously, from our league, we'll have Harvard. But, you know, leaving here, I've been able to go on and go and do some really fun and interesting things, and I've learned a lot in terms of both from the coaching, but then also from the front office point of view, and now in the role that I have overseeing the ECAC. And so I've seen different sides of the sport, but I think the one thing that I have always really enjoyed and really appreciated and cherish is what the sport of hockey means to Belfast. And you look at the world today and you see all the different things, but like Belfast has rallied itself in many ways around this area of the city.
Absolutely.
And that's special and it's unique and it should be celebrated not just here but everywhere else. And so anytime I have an opportunity to talk about what hockey can do for a community and what hockey can do in an area, I talk about Belfast, and then by that extension, you can see how, you know, the women playing hockey today can carry on that legacy in a different way.
You've obviously brought us Adam Keefe, which we're very grateful for. You know, we played 379 games as a player here. He's approaching the 400 mark as a coach. Three championship league titles, four Challenge Cups, a playoff title, and you can just see the fans still absolutely adore them.
I mean, I joke. I mean, they're going to build a statue of him.
Absolutely.
They will. You know, there's very few players who just have it.
Yeah.
And he played with passion. He played with energy. His teammates loved him. I enjoyed coaching him. Sometimes you had to rein him in. I mean, you could argue that
never.
Line. That,
really?
You know, there might, yeah. But, I mean, people now probably today, at least in my experience, would think about Mark Geierstein, Daryl Lloyd, and Adam Kiefer aligned. And Mark Geierstein was the one who would be up top and then just watching the craziness that the other two were doing.
Yeah.
But they were entertaining and their passion. And then you see him grow as a person and into what he is now today, not just for the Giants, but also for the community. I'm just really proud of him and seeing the success that he's had as a person, as a professional. I'm proud of him. And I think Belfast is really lucky to have somebody who is so fully committed to this team and to this city as their head coach for the previous years and for years to go.
It's when you were here and you had him as a player, could you see that? I mean, we all know, you know, what he did as a role model within this team. He's a heartbeat of the club for so many years as a player. But did you see did you see him becoming a coach?
You know what? Not in the way that he is now. I saw him growing. You know, it's hard to see where somebody's going to be 10 years. But what he was able to do was I always saw him as somebody who knew the game and knew how to relate to teammates and how to push people. And as that skill, you'd see how you grow from, you know, being an assistant, as he did, and then becoming head coach. And then you see him. But what I hadn't appreciated was how much of a student of the game he was. And that, I think, has really grown for him, and which has allowed him to take that passion and that energy that he had and then add that knowledge and experience to now you can see. I mean, obviously winning the treble last year and winning, you know, tons of games every single year and championships, they're always in and around it. So I didn't see that next hockey nerd evolution.
Yeah.
But he absolutely has it. And so for me, it's fun because, you know, he and I, when we talk, sometimes we'll talk hockey. And it's fun to learn from him and talk to him and pick his brain.
But it's also within your role and within your what you've seen in North America. There's a lot of contact between yourself and Adam. And I know that you've recommended players to him. And I know we've got some guys here that I've seen you with Bobby McIntyre the other day.
You know, especially when I was coaching, we talked on a regular basis. Most recently was Bobby McIntyre. And I would describe Bobby McIntyre in many ways. And I actually use this, and I don't mean this in a – they are opposite players. But Jeff Mason, Adam Keefe, and Bobby McIntyre have a little bit of the same thing in common. And what I mean by that is there's a real passion and an energy for the game. And they carry a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. And they all bring something different to the team. But excitement when they come to the rink every day, they all share. And so for me, Bobby, I really enjoy him as a person, really loved coaching him.
Great
and,
guy.
And
really
you know what? I think he's going to be great here. And I hope he, you know, has a great stretch run for the Giants. And, you know, where that goes from there, who knows?
When we look at the 2010 Belfast Giants, 2011 championship winning team, and you look around the crowd and you obviously talk about the East End being in, we've sold out in more or less every game for the last 4 or 5 weeks. And the season ticket numbers this year have broke all records. You see, I don't know if what you were told when you were here as the head coach, that back in 1999, 2000, when the Giants started, we were told it would never last. It was a headline news in the newspaper that said the Belfast Giants never last. We're approaching our 25th season now.
It's a credit to so many people. You know, it goes back long before I was here. But, you know, people like Jim Gillespie, who spent their hard-earned money to keep the Giants not only in the community but also successful and also having that importance of what it meant to be a Giant. And then, you know, to see the Odyssey Trust come in, because that last year here was a little bit different for me.
Absolutely.
And there are
a lot
of factors that, you know, were at play. But for the Odyssey Trust to come in, and I said to Robert Fitzpatrick and I said to Steve Thornton, this is a testament to them as well and their vision as to what it was, what it could be, and then now where it can go from there. Because, you know, the foundation was laid by lots of people. And one thing I will say is that there are so many people that I've seen here downstairs, you know, Lynn or Taff or Gordy or whoever, who've been here forever.
Yeah.
And they've had thankless positions from time to time. But those people were the ones who were the thread from, you know, 2000 to today. And without the people who have done that, who've been the ones who have been helping with apartments, been the ones who helped with cars, helped with sponsorship, or just helped a player in their transition from North America to here, they're the ones who helped make it what it is. Because the one thing that has always been the constant has been the people here. And the people are unbelievable, and they're a lot of fun. They're genuinely caring and want to make sure that whether it's a player, a player's mother, a player's parent, a player's wife, that when they're here, they're treated like family. And I think that that's really contributed to not just the success of the team, but also to how the players have felt. And then by that, when they leave, how they speak about it.
We've already touched on the friendship series, obviously Princeton and Providence, the last 2 days. The student-athletes have absolutely loved it. I've had a chat with a few of them. I interviewed the head coach of Princeton the last 2 days after the games. And you can just see how, Princeton won the both games and maybe a little bit of luck on their way today, but that's 5-1-3. But you can see how much they've enjoyed the trip. We hear it all the time from the teams that have gone back after Friendship Fours, and now we've got arguably the biggest setup and the biggest teams in a group that are coming in November in Notre Dame, Merrimack College, you've got Harvard, and you've got BU coming in November. Now, there is some people who will listen to this from Fife, for argument's sake, here tonight, and we're going to put this out, I think, on the podcast this week as well. There's some people that still don't get the Friendship War. They just don't get... They see the Belfast Giants, and when they come to the Giants games. But the quality of hockey that these players and these student athletes put on in the competition, not because they're playing for points, and that's, it's intense for their group stages back in North America, and it's the only place outside North America they play for points, but they're obviously getting the championship, as we call it back in Belfast as well. And we see it as, we've been very fortunate to see some absolutely incredible players who've come through from these setups. Ross Colton played here for Vermont in 2016. 3 years later, he scores a game-winning goal in the Stanley Cup final. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just insane. And we're going to have kids who are going to be playing for those four colleges this year that they're going to be playing in the NHL in 2 years after this.
Well, I think the first piece is it's a phenomenal event for the student-athletes and the schools to be able to come. But for the people who are here, you know, Boston University has Macklin Celebrini right now. Macklin Celebrini is going to go number one overall in the NHL draft this year. He's not going to be an NHLer. He's going to be a superstar in the NHL. And you have the opportunity to see a player like that come here now, whether he stays or goes after he gets drafted, all those other things are things. But those are the types of players who can come here. And the more that people tend to look at the players who might be coming, I mean, every single player who is a defenseman for Harvard this year is drafted in the National Hockey League. Every single one of them. So you're seeing these players at a key moment in their life and a key moment in their development. And I would actually say that, you know, it's not dissimilar. Every single person who's above maybe 22, right, can look back at their life between 18 and 22 and look at how much they grew as a person. And these players are coming over here and the opportunity to see the city, to be able to experience the hockey. So they get to see that. And they also get to see it matter, right? Because the NCAA tournament, which is, you know, obviously what we play for in the United States, is all computers. So your every single win matters in the same way that, you know, if Belfast is playing in Fife and they lose, it matters. Yeah. It's not like, hey, you know what, it's North America, we're going to make the playoffs. Every single point matters, and the college hockey is the exact same. So, like, I would almost just boil it down to college hockey is the same as the Elite League. Every point, every game matters for where you want to get at the end. And I think that that's the really fun part for everybody to be able to see, witness, and then obviously see these players as they're building to where they're going to go.
Belfast versus Fife tonight. You've watched the first two periods. Or have you watched the first two periods?
I have.
I know Robert's in the same box as you, so he's probably burning your ear. But what's your thoughts in the first 40 minutes?
Hockey's improved since I was here. I mean, I've said that a lot of times. Obviously, there's more imports now, so there's a bit more depth. Whether or not that's a good thing or not is a conversation probably for another day. But it's certainly improved the overall quality of the league. You know, I mean, Belfast had more than enough opportunities to really stretch the game open. Fife clawed a couple back, but there's no question who the better team is right now. It's just a matter of Belfast, you know, finding an opportunity to score a couple goals and put the game away. But the hockey has certainly improved, and the atmosphere has improved, and that's really obviously a credit to Kiefer and Steve building the team that they have. And now they got to go finish the job tonight.
Dougie, listen, it's been great having you on Belfast Giants TV. Thank you very much for your time.
It's a lot of fun. Hopefully we can do it again in November.
Absolutely. Oh, don't you worry. We will. And I love getting Ralph Cox on every year. And I mean, he's just an absolute legend. And we will go have Steve Metcalf and everybody on as well. So,
do you know what it is? Do you know what it is? And a big thanks to Doug Christian, you know, and big thanks to you, Sis, and the guys at Giants TV for sending that through. And I just felt it was worth sharing because it shows just the passion that Doug has, Sis, and it shows why he has been as successful as he has been since he left the Belfast Giants.
Yeah, and look, you know, he holds a really, really important position in hockey in North America. And It was great to talk to him again, and you know, and obviously, you know, coming back into Belfast as winning a trophy back in 2010, 2011, whatever it was. You know, and you could see how excited he was to be here again. And obviously, he spent a lot of time in Adam's office, and they were away for lunch, and they were just it was just great to have him about the place, and it's brilliant when we get the opportunity to host, you know, these NCAA schools, whether it's the guys or whether it's the women's teams. It's an honor to have them here. And you know, especially that they leave. The girls, one of the girls' teams, I think it was Providence, left on New Year's Eve, flew over overnight, arriving into Dublin, on New Year's Day, spent the day in Dublin, then come up the next day to Belfast, went straight onto the ice. Then they experienced, you know, they went with one of the schools, I think it was Rosetta primary school that the Providence went to. Princeton went to Brooklyn's primary and Dundonald. And they get the experience and pass on the experience that they've had, and they speak so highly about it. But it's the biggest part of it is when they go back to North America and they tell everybody else at how good it is to Belfast. And look, when the guys do that, then we get players potentially interested coming back to Belfast. I can't remember, I think it's approaching 15 players that we've had through the NCAA Friendship Four that we've had in Belfast that have now played in Belfast.
Yeah.
And we've been very, very lucky with them as well. So long may it continue. I know Robert, Steve, Martin, and now Sarah Fraser, they set up the new Friendship Series, Friendship Four Legacy, sorry. And they're going to, you know, look to try and add different things. And obviously, they ring the bell as well. Have you read it? Have a chance to read it yet?
I've had a good go through it. Yeah, it's excellent. It really is. I like the statistics that are in it are phenomenal. I love that. That's one of the things that I've got from it. The real breakdown in the Ring the Bell book of the statistics and the different players is brilliant. And then you cross-reference. So if you're a nerd like me, you then cross-reference that to the lads who have gone on to play in the NHL. And you see exactly the level of player that we get to see in this tournament.
Yeah. And that's what I've said to Dougie. You know, there's this kid, Macron Calibre or Celebrini or whatever it is, that's playing in BU at the minute. He's 17, yeah. And he's playing in the NCAA, you know, top league, top levels of NCAA as a 17-year-old. And from if you do read his elite prospects report, he's going to go number one, which is just absolutely insane. I'm just hoping to send him back down again so we can actually get him here next year and we'll see what he's like. Because as Dougie was telling me about him after the interview, this kid is absolutely sensational. I mean, he's right up there along with Connor Bedard and all the young guys who've came along the same sort of level with him. So, look, I honestly can't wait for the Friendship Four in November. Sorry, I think it's going to be absolutely incredible. And yeah, really, really looking forward to it.
Davey, just before we move on, you know, one of the posts I put a thing on Twitter there while I was listening to that interview because Doug Christensen, in his time here, he deserves a lot of credit. He sort of steered us through some turbulent waters. He referred to that in his interview. But, you know, with regards to us here in A View from the Bridge, he was always very generous with his time. And he speaks so well. He speaks so erudite about the he's so erudite about the club, about, you know, was it a proud city takes pride in you? And, you know, how he approached things like that. He was a fantastic coach for us.
Yeah, and he obviously took the decision to go to manage the Sheffield Steelers or coach the Sheffield Steelers. He was offered a huge budget. I'm not bringing up
budgets. Don't start again with a budget. You're going to get the Sheffield fans on us again.
That was the press release at the time. And that was Doug's own words, that he couldn't turn down the opportunity to work with such a large budget that he wasn't going to have that in Belfast. We were in that transitional period. And to be quite honest, it's the sliding doors effect. Doug went on to Sheffield. Steve came back in here. And look what's happened here in the last decade. You know, how lucky we were to have Steve Thornton come back into the organization. All the good things that have come from that. Doug has been a fabulous part of our history in terms of Belfast Giants. Going forward, he's going to be a fabulous part of history in terms of what he's going to bring with the Friendship Four. And look, brilliant interview with Sis. And I text you when it was going on Saturday night. And get this on the podcast. It's gold.
Yeah. Absolutely brilliant, says absolutely brilliant. Really good interview, and I see a lot of good feedback coming from people who've been watching along live. Big thanks to that. We've got a couple of things just to finish off, and one of those things, David, is one of the people that Doug Christensen actually mentioned, the sort of that thread to the Belfast Giants, is Jason Taff Ellery.
Better say something nice about Taff. I was very, very fortunate at Christmas to go out, me, Simon, Taff, but we think we'll go out every year for Christmas dinner. Where we go? Cypress Avenue, wasn't it?
Cypress Avenue.
Really, really nice. We had a wee Christmas dinner. Taff had to leave before the end to go and let Fife in, maybe, was it?
Yep.
Late night anyway. Sacrifice. I got to spend a couple of days with him down there. The guy's a magician when it comes to folding tiles. I seen he taught me how to do it. He had one tumble dryer completely folded, and I was still my first one, and it's in and away and away from you, and set it down in a certain way. And the last night I was home, so the 20th, maybe the 30th, we're playing the game, and it's come up to midnight. Simon had to go and do stuff in the office, and I was helping Taff with the tiles. Geordie Beattie was around, and Geordie was folding, and Taff came in. He was just like, Geordie, stop. I can't even look at what you're doing. Just stop doing it. Would you just leave him down? I'm going to have to do them all again now. And Geordie was just going away. And then Jude came down, and Jude's obviously Taff's protege there. Jude's a hockey player, by the way, but he helps Taff out there, and he can fold the tile just for the best of them. Me and Jude were racing, but like the work Taff puts in and the hours he put in over Christmas was phenomenal. Yeah, like those guys get to go home, just go in, get washed, have some food, get out of the arena, go and rest up for the next day or whatever. Pops in there, washing the sweats for the morning, washing the tiles, washing the kit, setting the locker room up, drying the kit so it's all there. Like, was it, what was the game, Simon? Was it the Boxing Day one where the guys played? So he was in the arena all day from like 7 in the morning, the 5 game, washed all the gear, helped load the bus, went to 5, got to what, Fife or Glasgow, whatever it was, to the hotel, 3 in the morning. The boat was delayed, got all the kit out, puts it out in a conference room, puts the fans on, so the guy packs it all up again in the morning so they can go on the bus to 5 or whatever. He puts in great shifts for this. He's obviously paid for it, but like, he puts in over above and beyond what the normal man on the street puts in their day to day, and you know, we're very thankful that he's part of our organization.
Did he go to Cardiff? Did he get to Cardiff? Obviously, nope. He would go to Cardiff. No,
yeah, everybody's because we were at home on Saturday night. Everybody was flying on Sunday morning, so they were in the airport for 6 hours, yes. And unfortunately, the flight didn't take off. So, you know, as contrary to what a lot of people say, we don't actually have our own charter jet. But even if we did, we still couldn't take off because it was the weather. Look, it was funny. Some of the tweets that were put out at the weekend from Field So Far were quite humorous. Like, but just to let people know, we have never missed a game due to a flight being postponed or cancelled in the Elite League era. So
we haven't. You give a shout to your admit Taff. Go on, says you can do it.
Like David's already said it. You know, he works his tail off. He's approaching, I think it's his 20th year actually in Belfast, maybe even 21st. Look, we all know what he brings to the table, and he wants to make everything as easy as possible for the players, to give them no excuses when they're on the ice. So that's what the organization does. It's We everybody involved off the ice at the arena tries to make things as easy as possible for the guys to play the game and give them no excuses. So hopefully, as I say, that, you know, everything that he does is appreciated by the boys. The hours he puts in is just incredible. But since he got the new washing machines at the arena, he's knocked a couple of hours off that because they went out and spent a bit of money last year to get new washing machines for him. So I know he gets a couple of extra hours in bed throughout the week, but it's not an awful lot.
I seen just when he mentions the washing machines, we put a wash on there, or the drying thing takes half an hour, the wash takes half an hour, whatever it is. He put it on and he shut the door. He didn't have a watch on. He didn't check anything. And we went back up the locker room. We're doing other stuff. And he says, grab that trolley there, go back down. I says, oh, it's half an hour up. He says, come on. And we walked down into the laundry. And it went ding, 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 and the machine. he's just got an internal clock. He timed himself half an hour. He didn't look. There's no clock on the wall. He's just back. He's just in tune with his job. We call him the magician, don't we, says, because he disappears when the bill came.
Hey, shout out to Taff. Well, one of the key parts, one of the key cogs in the operation of the Belfast Giants and in the success that the Belfast Giants have had over the last number of years and the success of the Belfast Giants going forward. This has been, we do news and all sort of stuff. Not doing that this week. It's the news and stuff because it doesn't matter. We're trying to catch up on all this stuff for the Belfast Giants. This has been solely Belfast Giants. There's been a lot of, and a bit of, you know, friendship series, but there's been a lot of stuff to catch up on. Two games this weekend, both against, first two games of a three-game series against the Nottingham Panthers. Two games at home to begin with, Friday, 7 p.m. and Saturday, 7 p.m., both against the Nottingham Panthers. Before next Saturday, we travel to Nottingham for that third of a three-game series. Great crowds the last few weeks, Sis. How's it looking this weekend?
Yep, it's going to be a busy weekend again. The seats are still in at the East End. And then we've got the arena cross next week, so everything's got to come out. And then I think they're actually talking about putting them back in again in February at some point, because the address is just it's unbelievable. We can't thank the fans enough for, you know, continuing to turn up and support the team. So it's absolutely brilliant.
Nottingham finally found a bit of winning ways after a long period of defeats, obviously going through a bit of a tough time over in Lower Parliament Street, but they finally found a win against the Fife Flyers, and they come in to Belfast. Is this their first visit of the season in the Belfast? I can't remember if it is. I should have checked that. I think
it is. It is, yeah, but they've been twice away.
So a doubleheader in Belfast this weekend. Friday, 7 p.m., Saturday, 7 p.m., both at the SSE Arena, of course. And if you can't get down there, then follow it with Mr. Kitchen on Belfast Giants TV. Any other business, boys?
Yeah, congratulations. That's a couple of weeks old now. Congratulations to Kieran Long and Hannah Long. Little Jonah. He's absolutely doting over him. So, yeah, he'll know what side his bread's buttered now, believe you me. So, but yeah, great to see. And he's back in the lineup again now as well. So he's allowed out.
Oh, well, I think I sent him a message saying, welcome to your new life, mate. Things are going to change. Because that's what people kept telling me when Rushing was born. Things are going to change. Yeah, but congratulations to the Longer and the Hannah. That's wonderful news. And no doubt they're having a great time as a family. Davey, anything from yourself?
Nope.
Business? Nope.
I feel like it should have. I feel that there's something, but.
Go on. Figure something.
No, I can't remember. No.
All right. Fair enough. If that's it then, boys, we'll start to wrap things up. Those two games, as I said, 7 p.m. on Friday, 7 p.m. on Saturday against the Nottingham Panthers. You know what that's like. You know, it's never forgive, never forget. Nottingham Panthers doubleheader at home, Friday, Saturday, 7 p.m. Can't get down there. Giants TV. Big thank you to Josh Roach, Will Cullen, David Goodwin, Marcin and Dahi McGowan, and of course Doug Christensen, and this is for that interview. Big thanks to you two gents. Good to see you and a happy new year. Oh, one more. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, says.
Thank you.
You can get us on X or Twitter at AVFTB. Facebook, you can get us on kingdomofthegiants.com, podcast at kingdomofthegiants.com, YouTube, all this sort of stuff. And, yeah, the send us an email, podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com. We still don't get any emails, but anyway. Big thanks to everybody.
We who's played the Panthers at home this year. I'm just racking my head. I think we beat them 4-2, 4-3 in December. Yep. We did play them. Yep.
Yeah, we beat the Josh Joseph in December. Yeah, it wasn't. See, that's where my head is as well.
My head there. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. It just goes to show the research and put in to A View from the Bridge. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Big thanks to everybody who's been joining us live. We really appreciate you guys who've been telling, and all you guys who are tuning in. Like and subscribe, send us a review, do all that sort of stuff. And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. We'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge. Sports Social Podcast Network.